Well, like I said, time is flying, isn't it? It's hard to believe that we are already to the second to last Sunday of the Advent season. It's been moving quickly. Now, if you've been able to be with us each Sunday during this Advent season, you know that the word Advent means coming or arrival, right? And so we've been taking these weeks that leading up to Christmas time here, where we get to celebrate the arrival of our Lord and King Jesus to this earth, to wait expectantly, to look for the things that Jesus brings to us in that time of waiting. And in the waiting, we've been able to find some pretty amazing things, right? Things that we really want and need in our lives. Things that, though, maybe seem a little bit too short in supply in today's world. Things that the world promises to us in spades, in many forms, in power, prestige, in money, in jobs, even in other people, but never seems to be able to fully deliver on that promise. It's like we only get a glimpse of what we need, and then it just takes it away again, and we just don't get it from there. We don't get the real thing. We don't get the things that last from the world. And those glimpses only make what we need and what we see and what we find in Jesus all the more beautiful to us. Those things that we've found so far are hope and love and joy. And today we get to unwrap another incredible gift that we find in the expectant waiting for Jesus, and that is peace. We find peace. Now, we're calling this Advent series Following the Light because the light of Jesus Christ is bright, and he's called the bright and morning star, and the light that guided the shepherds to Jesus that day of his arrival was a bright star in the east. Now, that star is only mentioned briefly in the Matthew account of this story, of this Christmas story, and it is what those wise men followed on that journey 2,000 plus years ago. That light must have led them over some really difficult terrain, I would think, that evening, through some narrow passages and over some places that probably looked completely impassable, just impossible to get across. That light was there in front of them as they encountered friends and fellow travelers along their journey. It was there as they faced both the difficulties and the joys along their journey. During the circumstances they encountered, both the expected and the surprising things that they encountered along the way. But that light, all through that journey, never faded away. It never dimmed. It didn't fail. It always faithfully pointed the way to Jesus. And so together we're following that light in this Advent season. And as we encounter struggle and joy in our journeys, as we move through life and we get to experience both the expected and the surprising things that come our way, we know too that light that we're following will never fade away. It won't dim. It will never fail us. Now, today is all about peace, I said. We get to unwrap that gift of peace. How many of you, I've got a question, how many of you have enough peace in your life, you think? How many of you got enough peace? Anybody? Yeah, not too many. We all need more peace in our lives, right? We can all use some more of that stuff. Now, I mean, just the fact that this is almost the last Sunday before Christmas is a testament to how quickly our lives are paced, and we feel unrest. I mean, 2017, to me at least, in a lot of ways, still feels like a novelty. It still feels new and fresh in so many different ways. So let's look for some peace as we follow the light this morning. Now, when I think of peace, one of the things I'm often reminded of is the well-known hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." Now, I love that old song, and I know I'm not alone in that. I'm seeing a lot of heads nodding here this morning. You know, that the music is beautiful, but really the message that it shares with us is what touches our hearts, right? That's what's really meaningful to us, because we all go through those really difficult times and periods in our lives where difficulties and troubles, they just seem to overwhelm us. They take over. And the words of the song tell us, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." And that is an incredible picture, I think, of strength and steadfastness and peace in the midst of just incredible despair. And most of us know the story behind why that song was written and how it was written. And so that only adds to the awe that we feel about experiencing that kind of peace in such a situation. But if you don't know the story behind that song, I'm going to tell it to you because I think it's important that we all do know it. It's really incredible. It was written by a man named Horatio Spafford, and he was a businessman in Chicago in the late 1800s. And in 1873, he lost his child to pneumonia. And I don't know exactly why, but he whether it was for vacation or moving, he decided his family needed to go back to Europe. And so he sent his family, his four daughters that were left and his wife, on a ship back across the ocean, and he was going to settle some business and then meet them there. Well, while crossing the Atlantic on that journey for his wife and his kids, that ship sank with his wife and his kids aboard. And his wife somehow survived that ship sinking, and she sent a message back to him telling him the news that the ship had sunk, she had made it, but they lost all their children. And he got that news, and so he forgot about the rest of his business, got on the next ship to go meet his wife and comfort her and be with her. And as he neared the place where he was told the ship swallowed his children, the sea swallowed his children, he wrote the words to that song. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow is like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. That song has meaning not because it was written by somebody whose life was full of the peace that we are thinking of when we think of peace. It wasn't written by somebody who has an easy, peaceful life without trouble or hardship or anything like that. It's meaningful because it was written by someone who had found deep and authentic peace in the midst of just tremendous heartache. And that peace was given to him from the only source that has the power to give it to him. It was taught, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Now, most of the time when we think of peace, we are thinking of the absence of hardship, of violence, of trouble, of work and fear in our lives. We're thinking of the absence of that. But this song demonstrates to us, in much the same way that we learned last week, that joy and pain live in the same space, that this journey of peace is not immune to those things. Journey of peace is not immune to hardship and trouble and violence and work and fear. In fact, those things often play a central part in finding peace. And so what we find in our lives, if we're paying attention anyway, is that peace is not the absence of trouble, it's the presence of God in the midst of trouble. What pain is it that you're facing this season? What's weighing you down? What's stressing you out? What's stirring up chaos in your life right now? Whether the answer to that question is something external to you, some pressures or work or whatever it is, or if it's internal, a struggle that you have inside your own soul, it's every bit as real, no matter where it's coming from. And so I'm going to ask you to take a moment right now and just open your heart to God on those things. Tell him your struggle that you're having and ask him for his peace. Ask him for his peace in the midst of that stuff. Now, he may or may not remove your struggle, but remember, peace isn't found in having the struggle removed. Peace is found in God's presence in the midst of that struggle. Because even if he does remove that struggle, you know there's 1,000 other struggles that are going to come in and take its place. This world has enough pain to fill us up again and again. So we need God's presence in the midst of our troubles. I believe there is power in the Word of God, and I believe Holy Spirit is still working on our hearts and lives today. And I know that he intends this kind of peace for our lives that Spafford wrote about. Our world seems so full of violence. We prayed about that this morning. It seems so full of uncertainty and fear. And the pressures of our daily lives, they never seem to let up either. We are in desperate need of this peace from God in our lives. And so it's comforting to know that the Prince of Peace came to this earth and was victorious over more than we could ever imagine, and that he's made his peace available to every one of us today. Here's what that peace looks like. Grab your Bibles and turn to Luke 2. I know we were there last week as well, but there are so many amazing things happening in the retelling of this story. And so we're going to find out about what it has to say about peace this morning as well. Luke 2, 13 through 20 is what we're going to read this morning. Luke 2, 13 through 20. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at it, at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. The angel said, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Peace on earth. Does that seem like the picture we have? Is that what way we picture the world today? Peace on earth? You know, I don't know how you picture the night of Jesus' birth. I mean, so many songs and nativities and plays, they put together this picture of a silent night. And I do appreciate the song Silent Night, don't get me wrong. But we're going to learn about what made that night silent. It wasn't necessarily that it was all quiet and warm and fuzzy, right? I mean, it tries to put this together, this picture of a peaceful moment when everything was all calm and peaceful and warm and good. But if that's what actually happened on that first Christmas night, it had to be kind of a fleeting moment, I would think. I mean, Mary gave birth in an animal shelter. And the city of Bethlehem was just overflowing with people, bursting at the seams, who had traveled for days on foot over rough terrain. And soon after Jesus' birth in those unsanitary conditions, King Herod was in hot pursuit to kill this king of the Jews who had just been born. And so I've got to believe that there was some noise that night, right? There was some noise. There was hurt and pain and struggle present that first Christmas. It wasn't that the world stopped turning for a moment and suddenly everyone's cares were removed and people were all comfortable and happy all of a sudden. It's that in the midst of that hustle and noise and hurt and pain and struggle and fear that first Christmas also came great joy and peace that was in the form of Jesus. Now, if you're following the light this Christmas season, this Advent season, and you're not seeing the respite and the relaxation that you so long for, this peace that you're hoping for, if you're not seeing that on the horizon anytime soon, you're not alone. You know, this gift of peace does not mean that we get to separate from the realities of life. It just means we find peace in the midst of that reality of life, with all the noise and all the chaos that surrounds us. Recording artist Andrew Peterson has a song called The Rain Keeps Falling, and it was playing during our welcome this morning. It illustrates so well, I think, this state of peace in the midst of the storms of life. The lyrics contain an honest confession of so many struggles, but interjected into and over those struggles that he's confessing of his life come the words that Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves during the storm that the disciples got to experience firsthand. He said, Peace, be still. Peace, be still. That is the reality of peace in the midst of this life, in this fallen world. I know that when we're deep in the mud of the difficulties and struggles of our lives, it's easy to look around you and look at everyone's life and think like, I'm all alone. Everyone else's life is grand. Everything else is perfect for everybody else but my own. And here I am, I'm struggling. But there's not a person in this room today who doesn't have difficulties that they're facing. Every single one of us has something that we're dealing with in our lives. And so sometimes we need to just pause and remember those words, peace, be still. And as we move into Christmas this week, let's be honest and acknowledge that fact in our own lives, that our lives are far from peaceful sometimes. And this world is far from peaceful most of the time. And yet the peace that Jesus will bring when he returns is just not here yet. That complete and perfect peace that he's going to supply is not realized in the world today. But as we let those words of Jesus move through us, he calms us and supplies us with the peace that we need. Peace, be still, he says. Jesus wants to get right in the center of our hurt. He wants to bring his power to drown out the noise and the chaos and the fear and the hurt and the pain, to settle the waves of the chaos of our lives and to give rest to our hearts in the middle of the storm. And only he can do that because he is, after all, the Prince of Peace. Peace is a person, right? Peace is a person. Peace is not just feeling, just some sort of feeling that we get sometimes. It's not a state of being that we can achieve through meditation or contorting our bodies in a certain way, right? Peace is a person. And Jesus is that person. He is the Prince of Peace. The words of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, written thousands of years before Jesus was ever even born, tell us this truth. It says, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Throughout Jesus' life and teaching, we see that peace comes from him and through the gift of the Holy Spirit, from God's presence to us. By sending his Son to this earth, God literally sent peace to this world. When we live in him, we live in the peace that he gives. And as we do that, we learn to trust God with the less than peaceful parts of our lives. And he transforms us from the inside out. In the midst of all that was happening that first Christmas, in the midst of all the unrest, we are told that Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Now, on the surface, you know, after Mary had her baby, had anything else in her life changed? Had anything else made it more peaceful all of a sudden when that baby was born? If you've ever had a child, you know the answer to that, right? The answer is no. It did not get more peaceful after the baby was born. It didn't. I mean, sure, there was a panic to get to Bethlehem on probably the most uncomfortable journey ever in history, right? I mean, you imagine her pregnant and trying to get to Bethlehem on these roads. But here she is. The baby is born, and now the real work begins, right? This wasn't more peaceful for some reason in her life. Now there's a child to clean and feed and care for. In fact, if anything, things got more crazy with the announcement of her miraculous pregnancy and the birth of this new baby. But Mary was learning to trust the one who is in control. And we can do that too. We can surrender our control, stop worrying, stop planning, stop striving, and leave that to the Prince of Peace. We can find rest in him. The chaos around us and within us, the busyness and noise, the struggle of life, those things may not change for us, but we can experience the peace that God gives because we can trust the one who is in control. So where is it in your life that you need to surrender control? Where is it in your life that you can enter into the peace of God today? Take a moment and follow the advice of the psalmist when he says, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God." That kind of stillness is a valuable commodity in our world today, isn't it? Especially in this busy holiday season, I think it's just a really important thing. But taking the time to stop and connect with Jesus himself is a huge step forward in getting the peace in our lives that we need. Jesus is the source of peace. And as his peace is realized to those who follow him, it calls us to action and spreads to the world around us. Luke 2:15 through 18 says, "When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them." Jesus came as the Prince of Peace, and we can live in him and we can experience that peace as he gives that to our souls. But we know too that we aren't always peaceful people. We don't always have peace in our lives, and the world itself is not always a peaceable place. I mean, judging just by the daily news, you might think that there is no peace in the world around us. And so we see how desperate the world is for the peace that Jesus gives, even if they don't know that that's what they need. Countries are sparring. Refugees are far from home. Our neighbors are hurting. There's violence in our schools. There's anger in our households. We live in the tension between the past, the present, and the future. That place of a broken world that's still staggering and being tossed around until Jesus returns and restores real peace once again and restores the world to a place without sin. As we contemplate our lives in this world that's still being kind of tossed about by all that stuff, we might struggle to see this gift of peace in our world as we get near to Christmas. Yet Jesus brought peace to the world with his birth. That's how it got here, right? And yes, he continues to fill us with Holy Spirit, and we know that it's not until he comes again that we will experience his complete and perfect peace. But until then, we have to know that we are held there. We are held in perfect peace. God keeps us in perfect peace even in this fallen world. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." And God does that. He keeps us in perfect peace when our minds are stayed on him. You see, this is this place where we live. This is where Jesus gives us that peace that can shine the brightest in our lives, because it doesn't always make sense when we look at the circumstances around us. That's when peace shines most brightly. Those shepherds received the peace of Jesus, and it didn't make sense to them. They didn't understand how that worked, and so they went to see what was happening and shared what the angel told them, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. That's what it said. The shepherds heard the news of peace from the angel, and they just had to go and find out about it. What's the deal with this? We need to go. We have to find out at what we had just heard. They were moved to action. The people heard the good news of the peace from the shepherds, and they wondered at what they had heard. They were moved to action in their souls. When people encounter the peace of Christ in their lives, they are moved to action. They may not take their own action. You know, we don't know what those people did with it when they were wondering what the shepherds told them. We aren't told what they actually did with it. But when people see and experience the peace of Jesus Christ in somebody's life around them, they are moved to do something with what they have just seen. They have to contemplate it. It cannot be ignored. They have to deal with it in their own hearts. That's why peace shines so brightly, especially in those places that just don't make sense to us. It brings an encounter with Jesus. The Bible tells us that God's peace is beyond understanding. And yet, in those encounters, we are encouraged to draw near to God and rely on him for his peace. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. You know, just because we trust God, he keeps us in perfect peace. Just because we trust him, he does that for us. That doesn't make sense to us in the midst of a night of turmoil, like that first Christmas, that there could be peace. That there could be a silent night in our hearts. A holy night where all is calm and all is bright. I mean, just because trusting God and being moved to action, we experience that peace. And when we trust in the Prince of Peace for whatever our need is, his peace guards our hearts and our minds. You know, so often I pray to God and I ask him to change my circumstances or the circumstances of somebody around me that I'm caring about. And I do that because he wants to hear my heart. He wants me to be honest with him, to be vulnerable before him. And you know, sometimes he does change those circumstances for me or for those around me. He does sometimes. But I found over the years that more often than him changing those circumstances, he changes my heart and my perspective. And he changes my mind on these things that I can be more like him and see things the way he sees things. As I pour out my heart and I connect with God, he shows me more and more of what he sees. And he shows me more and more of who he is. And the more I see things the way he sees them, and the more I know of who he is, the more confident I become in his ability to handle things no matter what. And the more peace I have in my heart and my mind because of his goodness and his faithfulness and his power, the more I know that no matter what's going on in or around me in my life, that it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. No, better than all right. It's going to be great, right? It's going to be great. The best it could possibly be, because the God of the universe is holding that in his hand. The God of the universe is holding all of it in his hands. And that understanding is a guard around my heart, my mind, for those times of unpeace, unrest, and discord. And believe me when I say that I have to open myself to it just like you do, because my natural tendency is not to trust. My natural tendency is to look to myself, to try to control, like that's where I'm going to find my peace or something, right? But the more I open myself to God's control, the more I experience the promise that Jesus gave his disciples when he left earth and ascended into heaven. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." You know, those weren't empty words from Jesus trying to encourage us or something. Jesus was no cheerleader saying, rah, rah. He meant these things. These words are rooted in reality because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Not only that, but Jesus knew that there was a lot in this world to fear. And he knew they needed this. They needed to understand this truth. I mean, he spent his whole life with people trying to kill him and living in the understanding that he was to be crucified for the sins of the world. Yet he told them and us not to be afraid. And he knew there was suffering in store for his disciples, and he says, "Do not be afraid. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." Why? Because he knows the end of the story, right? He knows that no matter what struggles that are causing us fear right now, his peace overcomes all of it. And in the meantime, his peace will sustain us through the pain and the hurt, not because those pains and hurts are insignificant, not because they're little or tiny and meaningless, but because he's so much greater than even the biggest pains and biggest hurts that we ever experience in this life. And so today and every day, we can trust that promise for ourselves, for our families, for our community, and for our world. We can experience peace because we know the one that we put our trust in is faithful and true and has the power to overcome. The Prince of Peace is coming again soon. Peace. Be still. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that even in the midst of the chaos and pain of our lives, you invite us into your peace. Help us to live in that space today, Lord. Help us to rest where you've made a place for us. Give us the courage to trust you with our lives and with the situations and circumstances that we encounter. Fill us with your peace. Forgive us, Lord, when we look for that peace in other places of our lives, whatever they may be, whether it's ourselves or other people or material things. Restore us, God. Draw us near to you. Keep us in your perfect peace. And use us as your agents of peace to this world where it seems so elusive to so many. Help us to bring peace in your name to this world. Amen.